Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. This is your host, Miss Lucy. I just turned the news off, and I just want to mention this. It really, if you don't believe in a supreme being, you need to see this news this evening of the four children that were in a plane crash, and four children survived 40 days in the Amazon rainforest. There is a God, and he's a God of miracles. Well, Father's Day is coming up very shortly this Sunday, and I thought Father's Day has always been around. I'm so old, I found out that Father's Day didn't come into a signed law of celebration until 1972. For some reason, I thought it was always there. But 1972 is when it became an official holiday to be celebrated the third Sunday of June of every year. So,
wow.
Happy Father's Day to those who are fathers out there. I'm going to share a couple of poems about my father, and the majority of the poems this evening will be about men. Let's see. Oh, and for those of you who've been sticking with me since I've been on here, I so appreciate you tuning in. And for those of you who are new, I hope you find something enjoyable. Dear Daddy, thank you for the piggyback rides, showing me how to tie my shoes and ride my bike, and picking me up when I fell. My first dance while standing on top of your feet, putting up the swing and sliding board set in the backyard, interrogating my first date, and giving me a quarter for the emergency phone call. and father-daughter talks, and for making me feel special in a world that saw me as different. Most of all, thank you for your love, gentle guidance, and quiet strength that made our house a home. Thank you, Daddy. Happy Father's Day. Okay, I have three sisters, and this is just a short little, it's almost a haiku, but just called Daddy's Girls. Daddy had four black pearls. His four little girls with kinks and curls. Daddy cared for and loved his daughters just like a father ought to. My father, he was born in 1919, and he passed in 1985. And this is what I wrote on his passing, and it always chokes me up. But Daddy, I remember how you watched over me and my baby sister Connie, and how I would tell you when her diaper turned brown. And for those of you who are young, we didn't have paper diapers like you have today. We had cloth diapers. So they would be used and washed and reused. So anyway, and I would tell you when her diaper turned brown, and you would rush to change her. Sing, I got the blues. as you ran to the bathroom to dunk her achievement. Daddy, I remember pretending to be asleep when you came home from work at night, just so you would have to carry me up to bed and tuck me in, and how at morning's light, you were in the kitchen making all bran muffins, and I got to grease the tins. Daddy, I remember how you protected your daughters, escorted us everywhere, questioning the motives of knuckleheads and giving them a stern warning. How sometimes you would let us listen to rock and roll on the car radio when Mama wasn't with us, and we'd forget to reset the dial to Mama's favorite station. Daddy, I remember our trips to Lexington Market, and you bought your favorite chocolate drops with cream centers, and I got a bag of chocolate chip cookies. How you love to eat, especially soul food and liver and rice with gravy, and how you'd sop up every bit with your bread. And when I would turn my nose up, you say, Lou, you don't know what good food is. Then you'd eat your Jell-O, drowned in canned milk, and I'd say, yuck, and you'd keep right on eating. Daddy, I remember our yearly family trips to Ohio and how for 500 miles you pointed out every cow to me and told me the spotted cows gave chocolate and white milk. I remember your Old Spice cologne and wing-tipped shoes, your gentle laugh, how you'd cock your head to the side, and how I loved it when people called me Daddy's girl. Daddy, I remember how you loved my mama, your wife, and how you called her Cottie, and she called you BB for Baltimore boy. What a good-looking couple you made. You tall, dark, and handsome. She fine-boned and yellow. And how you both taught us our roots and to walk tall and to be kind and helpful to others. Daddy, I remember when you said, look out for your mother. Did you know then you were leaving us? I remember, Daddy. And Mama's fine. I love you, Daddy, and I'll always remember you as a gentleman and a gentle man. Okay. this is a midnight, excuse me, in the daylight, and it's about the Million Man March. And I had dedicated it to Sterling Brown, who was an outstanding poet and literary person, taught at Howard University. And he told me to watch and listen and record. And hopefully that's... I'm doing a okay job with it, that when I read these poems that you can see the faces and places of people that you may even recognize in your own group of people, your family. Okay, this was Million Man March. They came, Sterling, not by ones, not by twos, not by tens, but by the hundred, by the hundreds, strong, united, committed, saying we are, we can, we will reclaim our wives, our sons and daughters, our families, our neighbors, our friends, from the east, from the south, north and west, from the motherland of Africa and Canada, Caribbean and West Indies and all the rest, by foot, by car, by bus, by train, by plane, like a caravan in the desert, spying the oasis ahead, which will quench the thirst, give hope and strength to master and change their destiny. They came, Sterling, not by ones, not by twos, not by tens, but by the thousands, Christians, Muslims, non-believers, alike, naturals, dreads, soft-sheen curls, fades, goatees, mustaches and beards, kufis, skies, caps, and other covered heads, old men, young men, tots, teens, young adults and midlifers, and seniors strutting their stuff. They were blue collars and white collars and no collars at all, and walking tall, walking tall. They were suited and booted and leather loafers and tennis shoes with kente cloth accents, competing with the rays of the sun as their presence shouted, "The lynching stopped today, today, stop today." They came, Sterling, not by ones, not by twos, not by tens, but by the millions, the drums were sounded, and their pulsating call was answered. The men stood tall as redwood trees. What a sight for my black soul. Like the moon eclipsing the sun, it was midnight in the daylight, a black and beautiful sight. They came, Sterling. They came. They came amid threats of losing a day's pay, of reprimands on the job, of demotions and complete separation from employment, of being labeled militant, and even loss of life. They came anyway, big, black, and bad. They came and they conquered the fear and dispelled the myth of their powerlessness, seizing their rightful place on this earth. They came, Sterling, by the hundreds, by the thousands, by the millions, by the millions. Every time I think about that day, it, go ahead.
I was going to say, Lucy, that's beautiful.
It sure is.
That's absolutely beautiful.
I mean, the event was beautiful, you know what I mean? It couldn't come out any other way. And the thing about it, if you look it up, if you take your mind back to that time, the publicity for it was horrible for the most part. And they had that ongoing debate about the numbers there. And they tried to downplay it. But it was over a million men. Over a million, and not one incident of harm or disruption. But see, you know,
isn't
that story, they don't want it
wonderful.
Told.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, when I read this poem, it just puts me, I feel like I'm right there, you know, and how beautiful that was. But they downplay it.
It's very interesting. I did not go. My sons went. I had two sons go. I was in Baltimore. I literally felt the spirit, the common spirit in Baltimore that day. That's just how, what a moving situation that was. And I met the guy, met the pastor who God gave the vision to. He was a Baptist pastor, and he met with, he was from Evanston, Illinois, and the Baptist church there, downtown Evanston. And they met with guys in Charlotte, in Chicago, Jesse Jackson and Farrakhan and all of that. That's how that idea got placed in the human history. Mm-hmm. And Farrakhan was the only person that had the infrastructure to pull it off. And those pastors, those Christian pastors, were complaining about, why God go to them? Well, God came to a Christian pastor.
That's right.
And that Christian pastor understood that there was nobody in his circle other than Farrakhan that had the credibility and that could pull it off. He was a professor at the seminary I was at out there in Illinois. I met him at a barbershop.
Wow.
Yep, he wrote a couple books too.
What's his name?
Now you would ask me.
I understand perfectly.
I will have his name and the title of his books next week. I mean, the next show.
Dr. Taylor.
I don't ask him. Yeah, I don't know how to spell his first name, but he was
pronounce it one
professor.
More time for me. What was his first name?
Aisha Taylor.
Aisha.
I think it's Aisha. I think it's an H. It may be an I.
Okay.
I'm not sure. We just call him Dr. Taylor.
Okay.
And I brought him to Baltimore.
Wow.
And you know what? And we advertised it and all of that. And nobody showed.
Oh, no.
Nobody showed.
Wow.
Yep. Pastor Smith, Connie Smith, we both were United Methodist pastors there in Baltimore.
Wow.
So
That's a shame.
Yeah. He's passed now, but he was a man.
Yeah.
That understood the culture and the society.
Mm-hmm.
Understood his role and his calling.
Mhm. Okay.
He tried to get the word to the people.
Mhm.
Well, Miss Lucy,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
When you read your poem, you read it with such passion. You can't help. You almost feel like you were there.
That's right. That's right.
Like Willie said, I wasn't there, but the spirit, like Willie said, it reached out to all of us, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while that was going on. While we were watching it on TV. Yeah.
Yeah, this
that
was
awesome
watching it on TV. It was like I was there in the crowd feeling it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for writing that.
Oh, I
beautiful.
Thank you for
beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know,
hey,
I always say it doesn't matter how, I don't say it doesn't matter how it's well written. If it's not delivered the right way, that's what makes the difference. It's the delivery that makes all the world of difference.
Absolutely, because just saying the word is just
that's
the
right.
beginning.
That's
Thank
right.
Thank you so much
mm-hmm.
for writing that. And you put that on the CD that I got from you so I can hear it many, many times.
Excuse me for coughing. I'm not coughing from allergy. Yes, I am. I guess I am. I went to Baltimore a few weeks ago, and it was just a quick trip because I had a storage unit that I've been paying on for 5-6 years. So, you know, that was a mortgage payment. I had to go get my stuff out of storage. So the all of that stuff is now in my garage. And for the last few days, I've been telling myself, don't go in there. Don't go in there. But I end up in there, and I'm opening up boxes, and it's amazing. I mean, the memories that are coming back, it's just like looking at yourself from afar, you know.
Right.
So much stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's why my throat is bothering me from all those boxes and what do you call them? I forgot what you call them. Paper mites and stuff.
Paper mite. Yep.
Yeah.
I hope you were wearing your mask when you were opening those up.
No, but I will later on. I learned my lesson. I will put my face mask on, tell you the truth. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, this is, let me see. Hold on.
Are you using your computer?
No. Oh, I did get my computer, but I don't know how to use it. I did tell you all I was going to get one, but I got one, but I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to use it.
Well, I will, though.
Yeah. Okay, let me see. Hold on. You know, I'm also finding out something else about myself. Of late, I get very easily distracted, and that was the wrong thing for me to go in that garage and start going through boxes. But just let me get my focus back. Okay, Broadway Symphony, which I've read before. And I didn't have time to do anything in Baltimore related to writing or history or anything like that, which are the two things I love. But because it was on my mind to go by the Great Blacks and Wax Museum, and that's located on, North and Broadway. And I had said before that area, which is where Johns Hopkins Hospital is located, was a very dilapidated, deteriorating place. Lots of empty houses, boarded up, all that kind of thing. Drug, crime activity. And then the powers that be took interest in it and started, of course, rejuvenating the area and making it making these new townhouses and apartments for those of an upper class. I'll put it that way. Broadway Symphony, Street Corner Symphony. Playing on Broadway, no advance tickets needed. Showtimes every day, from sunup to sundown, from dawn to dusk. Open seating for everyone on a littered strewn lawn. Come hear the haunting melodies of broken bodies and minds. Due to a wide audience acceptance, Street Corner Symphony performs all the time. Bass man Mel, his belly swollen from alcohol, and brass man Sam, who's reed thin and tall, body emaciated from drugs and all that goes with being a black man in this liberty and justice for all freedom land, with the number one obsession being his degradation and fall. When asked how they came to join the group, the answer came in unison from the troop. The advertisement read, "Black man wanted, job for life. Leave your family troubles. Put behind you the stress and strife. No worries, woes, or cares. We'll put your woman and child on a steady check from welfare." They thought it was a good game, since they only made minimum wage, not enough to raise a family, and they were tired of feeling caged. So clouded was their memory of a truism we all know too well: the last hired are the first fired. So from lost dignity comes the rage in rhythms of pain and melodies of blue on Baltimore's Broadway Avenue.
Okay.
From surviving to thriving. We've been kidnapped, chained, beaten, burned, jailed, bombed, even turned into Uncle Toms. We've been lied to, denied school, lied about, placed under a cloud of doubt. We've been humiliated, our men emasculated, ejected, rejected, raped, made victims of hate. And the list will grow. The incidents escalate until our minds we elevate from survive to thrive with a history of leadership and countless accomplishments of great traditions and enormous pride. We'll move forward from surviving to a people strong and thriving.
I like that too. That's nice. Very nice.
Yes. Thank you. Let's see. I'm going to stop apologizing for flipping pages. You know I flip pages. So.
You're not disturbing me. It's no, right. It's no problem. That is no problem.
Okay. Let's see. Trilogy. Jack Lade Minister is seriously sinister as he amens his way each and every Sunday to at least 7 collection plates. Never mind the sermon being 30 minutes late. He dresses real snappy, and the sisters get happy as he practices his hallelujah and holy dancing, just a skipping and a prancing. The congregation starts to praying and shouting as the preacher starts to touting about the importance of giving 1/10, and Rev sends the plates around once more. Honey, you should see the money mountain, almost as high as the church fountain. That old Rev is making a mint. Now, I guess I should give a disclaimer before I do these. Some people get real upset. I'm just speaking my truths, things that I've witnessed this thing.
Amen.
I wanted to read it. I'll do this next time. It's called Who's the Real Boogeyman? But it's all, I wrote it, and it's half written and half printed by hand. It's not typed. So I'm not going to struggle with that right now. But I'll try to get that together. I'm coming, I'm coming. Do you all, I shouldn't do this. I wrote this, thing, it was a story about going through a divorce and how and when I recognize things. And in it, I should not do it. I have a list of 100. I am not going to read this. I'm just going to shut up. I'll save for next time. But I had a list of 100 things.
I would love to know how many things are on your list that's on my list. I'm divorced, too.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe it. I'll just, okay. I'll do a few of them. These are things you should recognize. It's called, wait a minute, Words of Wisdom. Okay. What to look for if trouble is near. Okay. Let me just pick out a couple. Okay, here's one. You don't want to marry a middle son. He's the one his family will call on until he or they die. And until then, he'll never be able to say no to any of their requests. Okay. Do distance yourself from the sisters. There is no such thing as the sisterhood when it comes to men. Haven't you been watching Jerry Springer? The women today have as much dog in them as the men. Now, see, I'm going to change that because you all know I'm a dog lover and dogs are very loyal. let's see. Okay. Makeup, lipstick, and foundation found on his shirts. Lies, 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 lies about anything and everything. Obsessed with losing his middle-aged gut and begins walking and jogging and doesn't ask you to join him. Okay, was number 35. Says he doesn't have to tell you where he is because he's grown, but wants you to stay in the house. Goes on a trip home in quotes, and comes back minus a suit. Years pass, and he still has not retrieved his clothing, probably in her closet. Every day he has to go to the store. Let's see. He avoids your family members, especially your mother. Lord, I can't believe this is 4 pages. I'll just do a couple more. Let's see. His taste in music, food, clothing, etc., have changed. He buys
everything,
a motorcycle. He buys a motorcycle and doesn't know how to drive it.
Oh.
Now, that is so. That happened. This stuff in here happened to me. Should I tell this story? Gotten back from work, and then around the corner comes my ex, and behind him comes a man on a motorcycle, and behind him another man in a car. So I just thought they were friends from his work or whatever. I didn't know what they were. He went and bought a motorcycle And the man had to drive it home for him because he doesn't know how to drive a motorcycle. And the other man in the car was to take the man back who drove the motorcycle to the house. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, Lord have mercy. Okay, let me leave that alone. That list is pretty long.
Well, I think we got pretty much different lists, but I did relate to one of them, and I won't say which one.
Oh, this is another part of that story, and it's called, this list is called Light Bulb Moments. It takes two to keep a marriage together, only one to tear it apart. After a divorce, men remarry and women mourn. Marriage enslaves a woman and frees a man. Mothers raise them from babies to boys, and wives raise them from boys to men. Men leave because they can. Okay, let me see. Men think for a little while. Women think forever.
Right.
Men think sex. Women think love. Men don't like illnesses, arguments, tears, or any other display of emotions. There is no sisterhood when it comes to men. Sisters are too willing to be the cleanup woman. Okay. Menopause, menstruation, mental illness all seem to have men as the common thread. It's okay for a woman to put her needs first. Men go where they want to be. Men think they have to give up something for love. That's just part of that. That's enough. Mr. Willie, any comments?
Part of it stepped on my toes, that emotional part of it. You're right. Men can't deal with that emotional, women start tearing up. Because we sort of feel that that's a con game to get us to let them have their way. And that's not necessarily true. But that's how we're wired by the society. Society wires us that way.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that it's going to take women to bring about a change. Say, hey, enough is enough. That's it.
Yeah.
A thoughtful list. Very thoughtful list.
Yeah.
Oh, here.
And see, one other thing. The church is the biggest, the church created the monster because we tell from the Old Testament, people read the Old Testament, and they feel that men are the ones that are in control and women. And then Paul comes along and tells women to be subservient. But whenever you look at it spiritually, that's not what Paul is saying. Spiritually, Paul is saying that the man is the spiritual head of the woman, not the controller. And that, number two, the woman don't have to succumb to the foolishness if it doesn't line up with the word. Now, I know what I'm saying. Some people are going to disagree, but that's on them. I don't believe any woman needs to be subjected to anything that is demeaning to them.
Right.
I believe, this is my belief in God, and I would have to have a conversation about it. I don't counsel women to stay in any type of relationship that's abusive.
Yeah. Well, here's one more. I'll do a little little bit of this list. I must have like 5, 6, 7 different lists in this story. But this one is How to Get Even with a Cheating Mate and Not Lose. This is the title of it. Words of Wisdom, How to Get Even with a Cheating Mate and Not Lose Your Cool or Give Him a Reason to Call You Crazy and to Get Some Satisfaction That Only Revenge Can Give. That's the title.
Long title.
Yeah, okay. Castor oil blends well with salad dressing. There won't be but there won't be but one place he'll be dropping his pants. Number two, bake a chocolate cake. Add Ex-Lax in either the batter or the icing. Rogaine looks and feels like water, so pour his out and refill with water and tell him his hair is really growing back nicely. Put a dab of Vaseline in a strategic place on his car seat. See if he gets as many comments on how good he looks. I did that. Actually, I did all this stuff. I covered that whole driver's seat with Vaseline. Anyway, okay. Let's see. Put a dab of Vaseline on the passenger side seat too. Then everyone will know she's a nasty slut. Pour ammonia in his cologne bottle. It will absorb the scent, and voila, no more pretty boy. Loosen the threads on the buttons of his shirt. They'll pop off while he's trying to be cool. Cut the threads in the crotch of his pants. People will eventually see the, ass that he has become. Remove one of the teeth in the zipper of his pants or loosen the threads that hold the zipper in. Self-explanatory. Partially cut through his shoestrings. Okay, that's enough of that one.
Lucy.
Hey, this is mild stuff compared to what people do today.
Oh, yeah.
See, I didn't say anything about breaking car windows and putting sugar in the car tank.
Yep. That used to happen a lot.
Yep, and keying cars and flattening tires and all that mess.
Yeah. Okay, back to the poetry. Okay, let's see. Okay, we're talking about men. Okay, so I'm going to, and let's, this is about, anybody had cataract surgery?
I have.
Did it hurt?
Nope. Absolutely didn't feel a thing.
How'd you keep your eyes open?
Well, the doctor has some kind of little thing that he puts on your eye, and it holds it open for him. You don't have to hold anything.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, it was absolutely painless.
Yeah, and they got the other one that your roommate had, where they changed the they just cut the lens out and put an artificial lens in.
Okay, change subject.
That's
that
why
just,
she didn't need glasses.
Yeah, that just came out of my I know. It just came out of my mouth because my eyes are not focusing. And I said, oh, Lord. Anyway, okay. This is called America the Beautiful. Okay. America the Beautiful is a misnomer, inaccurate, misleading. Just ask Native Americans, the original indigenous American, about cultural genocide. Ask them. Ask them about the civilizing programs to make them more like European Americans, forced to let go of tribal practices, forbidden to speak their native tongue, forced to learn English and haircuts all around, and European clothing to cover their nakedness, and pushed off their lands, forced into slave labor, and introduced to poverty, alcohol abuse, and disease. Just ask African Americans stolen from their motherland, enslaved, beaten, chained, raped, hanged, not allowed a family, sold at will, treated in the most heinous example of man's inhumanity to man, to build America, which has never said thank you, which has never given them a stake in ownership, who to this day live under daily assault from decades-long campaign of terror and attempts at annihilation, criminalizing his skin color, his body added to hunting season schedules under year-round category. Just count the number of dead black bodies bullets are found in. You know, in California, I haven't been keeping up with it. I don't know if you all have, about the reparations, and I don't even know what city they're talking about. It's not the city, it's the whole state, right? Is Gavin Newsom, is that the governor of California?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and they have this reparations thing where they've come up with, I forgot the sum, $5 million for each person. I don't know. I need to read up on it. But then again, why give myself a headache? Because I don't think it'll pass. But
well, I'm not against it, but I will stake my life on it no longer than the person get the $5 million, they're taking it to the white man.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's
yeah, our people
do.
Don't understand money and the use of money, and they don't understand the Bible, in Genesis, because in Genesis it clearly tells us that the earth is ours. He gave us dominion over it. And we have allowed people to rob us of our birthright because we want to die and go to heaven.
Mm.
As opposed to, and we pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Preach, William.
But we still want to die and go to heaven. Check Revelation. You're going to be right here on this earth. The new heaven and new earth is coming straight down here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Revelation says, not what I say.
Yeah,
I hear you.
I don't know how much luck California is going to have because they also have Mexicans with a similar kind of proposal for land that was stolen them.
Mm-hmm.
California was a part of Mexico originally.
That's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then add to that thought, all this stuff that they're giving these Ukrainian immigrants. They're getting tons of money. They're getting housing. They're getting childcare, schooling, everything. that many in our family have yet to see. So I understand my thoughts on that.
I'm not racist, but the reality is we're not white. And if you look at what's happening now with the Hispanics, there's a report out now that they're moving, flocking into white supremacy. They're adopting that as their thing.
Well, you see who Santos, who isn't fully white, he's a mini Trump who's running for president. And what's that other guy's name who ran for president last time? Rubio.
Yeah.
All of them. They all adopt that same philosophy, white supremacy. They all go towards it because you know the people that a lot of these Hispanic countries. If you go visit them, there are people of every hue. Of every color. But when they come to America, they will cut their darker brothers and sisters off, and they go towards the white community. If they have white skin and their hair is straight, you know, I don't know how to fix it. I wish I could, but let me do this. Blues is black. Oh, speaking of the blues, that who said they knew where there was a juke joint on
a building? It's no longer
a building.
Yeah, but the building is still standing. Yes, it's near Bellefonte Presbyterian Church. It's over on. I'm trying to think of the Robinson Church Road, It's
okay, Robinson Church Road.
That's near you.
Yeah. I got to go looking for that.
Yep.
Okay.
I can try to get more specific directions for you. But where it is, and I'm told it is still standing, and you can drive right up to it. There's a little narrow road. You can drive right up to it.
Oh, my goodness. I would love to see that.
You right?
I'll find out a little more details about it.
Okay. I appreciate that. But, you know, I was reading about juke joints this past week, I found out that they had them. So this article said they had them on some slave plantations. The slaves would have one of their housing. They would use it like on a rotating basis. And that would be a place where they could get some relief and relaxation and do songs and even dance and so forth on the plantation. I haven't finished reading, but that's the first I ever heard of that.
Yeah, so that's where the house parties. Remember, house parties used to be a big thing.
Yeah,
so... What was it, a blue light in the basement or something?
Yeah, I got a poem called Blue Light in the Basement. I do. Anyway, let me stay. I get distracted. Blues is black. Let me see. More than listening to Ma Rainey, John B. Hooker, or Bessie Smith. Blues is black, naturally black, grown deep in the bones and muscles. Blues is black, blue black, slave body sweated and bled the blues. Blues is black, black pain of chains disfiguring, molesting, and scarring black bodies. Blues is black, like the heavy weight of the mallets lifted and swung by the chain gangs. Blues is black, bloody black, like the bowels of the Mississippi River. Blues is black, knowing slavery has only changed its name to prison industrial complex. Blues is black, black like the target on black boys' backs. Blues is black, like the pain of a black student's A work receiving a C, code for colored. Blues is black, like training someone to take the promotion you deserve. Blues is black, like black hair is threatening to where it naturally can cost you your job. Blues is black, black like the president who gets no respect, called monkey, called nigger. Blues is black, living black, breathing black, being black, living under constant attack and suspicion. Blues is black as a starless night, black as a moonless sky. Blues is black, purple black, like the bruise on a racist heart that forever seeks my demise. Blues is black, black hands clasped in prayer. Oh God, Lord Jesus, hear our cries and deliver us from this evil.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yep.
You know what? We are survivors, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
It's a reason for it. Yep. It's a reason for it. Can I say something about our hair? You know, I talk about our hair all the time. But I cannot watch another. I'm sick of seeing black women on the TV with these wigs that are, you know, going all the way down the back. I mean, we have plenty, there are plenty of us whose hair naturally grows that long. I'm not denying that, but I'm saying, I those shows, The Housewives and all of that, I really don't like those shows because they put up a false image for our little girls to want to be like. You know what I'm saying? The emphasis is on the wrong thing. It's on the hair. It's on the eyelashes. It's on expensive clothing, expensive jewelry. I just don't understand why we allow that, along with Nick Cannon, who now has 13 children, by the way. And his stupid show is still on. I don't hear anything about it. Well, I thank you all very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to get me the direction to the juke joint.
Definitely.
And,
that's my assignment.
Okay, because I'm going to go and take some pictures, okay? All
right, okay.
Thank you all very much. See
you
next time.
Thank you.
Very full show, a very full show. Thank you.
I got distracted, but I'll work on it. Okay, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Shalom.